Breaking news as we come on the air. A confirmed tornado touches down in Michigan. A weekend of extreme weather ahead. Images of extensive damage coming in. Reports of homes and businesses ripped apart. A tornado watch across parts of the Northeast. Record-breaking heat across much of the country heading into the weekend. The Northeast bracing for temperatures in the 90s. Rob Marciano tracking it all for us. Growing concerns about the spike in COVID cases as summer approaches. The U.S. reports 700,000 new COVID cases just in the past week. 45% of Americans living in a medium or high-risk area. The first Pfizer booster shots are now being given to children ages 5 to 11, hours after getting the green light from the CDC. Breaking news along the southern border. Late today, a federal judge in Louisiana rules Title 42 will stay in place. The Trump-era policy allows migrants seeking asylum to be expelled without a hearing. News on the nationwide baby formula shortage. Hundreds of pallets from overseas expected to arrive in the U.S. from Europe in just days. The first shipment contains specialized formula for babies with critical medical needs. President Biden now on his first high-stakes trip to Asia since taking office. The president in South Korea facing economic challenges from China and a potential nuclear threat from North Korea while he's in the region. Mary Bruce traveling with the president. Wall Street nears bear market territory before recovering late today. Growing concerns the U.S. economy may be heading toward a recession. The CDC issues a new health alert about monkeypox. Doctors are now being told to be on the lookout for symptoms. Health officials with a confirmed case in Massachusetts, another possible case under investigation here in New York City. And the dramatic rescue here in New York, 42 stories above the ground.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lindsay Davis in for David tonight. We have a lot to get to. COVID booster shots for those 5 to 11, as nearly half of the country is now at a medium or high risk level. And details on the first new baby formula supply set to arrive. But we begin with that breaking news. A powerful tornado striking Michigan, part of a severe weather system from Michigan to the Northeast. We have the images just coming in. The confirmed tornado causing significant damage in Gaylord, Michigan, where buildings are flattened and debris litters the ground. People are being warned to take shelter. State police advising people to avoid the area. Ahead of this system is record heat spreading across the eastern part of the country into the weekend. Rob Marciano has the forecast in a moment, but first, ABC's Alex Perez leads us off.
Tonight, a massive tornado touching down in Michigan, debris swirling in the air. People seen running for cover with the twister bearing down.
We have a major tornado strike here.
Video just in showing the utter devastation left behind in Gaylord. Buildings ripped apart, state police warning people to avoid the area. Businesses along this street suffering heavy damage.
Looks like part of Hobby Lobby roof is gone.
Authorities issuing a tornado warning late this afternoon, urging residents to take shelter immediately. One hospital in the area confirming they're treating the injured. So far, no word on any fatalities due to the storm.
More severe weather is expected in several areas throughout the weekend. Our thanks to Alex. And ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano joins us now. And Rob, time these storms and the spreading heat out for us.
Well, Lindsay, the energy that brought that tornado to Michigan will be spreading out yesterday and really will hit a wide area as it bumps into that heat. Check out this map from Austin to Dallas, up through Little Rock, Evansville, Cleveland, all the way into northern New England. Damaging winds possible, scattered hail, and a few tornadoes as that front bumps into that record-breaking heat. Texas, you've had it for 2 weeks, 92 in Dallas, 92 in Memphis. But look at parts of the Northeast, not just today, but on Sunday as well. Boston could very well hit 92 degrees on Sunday, 90 degrees in New York. This is very unusual for this time of year. And 97 potentially in Philadelphia. If we hit that mark, that will be the warmest temperature tied on record for the month of May in that city.
Some
Lindsay?
Extreme heat there, Rob. Thank you. And now to that breaking news. A major border ruling, a federal judge in Louisiana keeping Title 42 in place. That's the Trump-era policy that allows migrants seeking asylum to be expelled without a hearing under a CDC public health emergency for COVID. It was set to be lifted on Monday. Let's get to ABC's chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman. So, Matt, tell us what happens next.
Lindsay, the Biden administration decided first to repeal Title 42 back in April. In response, two dozen Republican governors sued to try to keep it in place. The reasoning being that Title 42, invoking that public health emergency, would limit the number of asylum seekers into the U.S. But now that judge's injunction basically keeps the status quo, preventing the government from rolling back Title 42 or making any changes to it until this lawsuit winds its way through court or there's some sort of negotiated solution. And we should note, Lindsay, that this comes at a time when Homeland Security is grappling with historic levels of migration into the southern border. Lindsay.
Matt Gutman, our thanks to you. And now to the pandemic and the troubling new signs of a summer surge. Cases rising for the past 6 weeks, the number of counties at high risk doubling in just a week. 45% of all Americans currently live in counties considered at medium or high risk. This comes as first children ages 5 to 11 are getting booster shots just hours after the CDC gave them the green light. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson.
Across the country today, the first kids 5 to 11 getting their booster shots.
You shouldn't be nervous. It's just a little pinch. It just takes like a sec.
The CDC director signing off on the extra dose for young children at least 5 months after their initial COVID shots.
It's helpful so like you don't get sick from the coronavirus.
It comes amid growing fears of a possible summer surge. The number of counties at high COVID risk there in orange doubling to nearly 300 in just the last week. 45% of Americans are now living in a medium or high-risk area.
We are seeing a swell in cases. When you have a sheer number of volume of cases that are being infected, that's going to translate into more hospitalizations, unfortunately more deaths.
The FDA is set to decide by early July on a new and improved vaccine expected to roll out in the fall, one that would last longer and better target Omicron and its subvariants. For now, the CDC is strengthening its booster recommendation, saying immunocompromised Americans over 12 and everyone over 50 should get their second booster shot.
We have a lot of infection out there right now, and what I am recommending to basically everybody over 50 is, given how much infection there is, given that extra layer of protection that the second booster offers, that there's no reason to wait. People should go out and get that second shot.
And in those areas of high transmission, the CDC again telling people to wear masks indoors. The city of Philadelphia bringing back a mask mandate in schools.
I always want to be safe, and I always want to make sure my family's safe. And I think that the school district needs to like do whatever they can to make sure that their students are safe.
Safety is a priority. Whit Johnson joins us now. And Whit, health officials are also tracking a series of cases of hepatitis in children, trying to figure out whether or not that has any connection to COVID.
Yeah, Lindsay, the CDC now says that a sixth child has died in the U.S. from that rare and severe form of hepatitis. Health officials are now investigating 180 cases across the country. They want to know whether they're possibly linked to a prior COVID infection, adenovirus, or whether COVID quarantines may have left these children more vulnerable to other viruses over the last few years. Lindsay.
Whit, thank you. Overseas now, President Joe Biden is in South Korea tonight on the first leg of a high-stakes trip to Asia, with one eye on China's economic rise and the other on North Korea's nuclear threat. The president's first stop, a Samsung semiconductor facility similar to the one that the company is building in Texas. ABC's senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce is traveling with the president.
President Biden in South Korea touring a semiconductor plant.
President Biden, President Yoon.
Reinforcing the economic ties between our two countries amid supply chain delays and the growing threat of China.
The alliance between the Republic of Korea and the United States of America is a linchpin of peace, stability, and prosperity.
With Biden's attention dominated lately by the war in Ukraine, this trip, his first to Asia since taking office, is a chance to reassure allies and stress his commitment to countering the rise of China.
Our strategy is to build around strengthening our ties and cooperation across the board.
Also top of mind, the dictator next door. U.S. officials warning there's a real risk North Korea's Kim Jong-un could launch another long-range missile or even conduct a nuclear test during Biden's visit, an unprecedented provocation that could come even as North Korea is facing a COVID crisis. Earlier this week, a rare sighting of Kim in a mask. The regime now acknowledging its first COVID outbreak, reporting at least 2.2 million people are sick. But the dictator is still resisting most outside assistance and refusing vaccines.
Mary Bruce joins us now from Seoul. And Mary, a bit of news before the president even arrived in South Korea. Two members of the Secret Service sent back home after an incident with local police.
Yeah, Lindsay, we've learned that two members of the Secret Service assigned to prepare for this trip went out for a night of drinking, became intoxicated, and got into an altercation with a cab driver. A report was filed with local police, and these two individuals were immediately sent back home. They have been placed on administrative leave. Lindsay.
Mary, thank you. Now to that news on the baby formula crisis. The first shipments in the administration's Operation Fly formula are set to take off from Switzerland and arrive in Indiana in just days. The cargo contains hyperallergenic formula for children with special medical needs. But in Texas, nearly half of all the supplies are still out of stock. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Fort Worth for us tonight.
Tonight, Operation Fly Formula preparing to take off, with the first flight expected to arrive in the U.S. from Switzerland in just days.
I don't think it's going to be very long before that flight is actually in the air.
With President Biden invoking the Defense Production Act, the Defense Department now in charge of transporting the equivalent of 1.5 million bottles of formula from a Nestle plant in Zurich to Plainfield, Indiana. The first shipment containing three specialized formulas that help babies with cow's milk protein allergies. The shortage triggered by supply chain issues, then worsened by a February recall by formula maker Abbott. In Spokane, Brianna Mullen heading to four different stores by bus in search of a special formula for her two-month-old and coming home empty-handed.
I'd gotten one can for my friend, and now it's like once that can's gone, you know, who knows if we're going to be able to find another can.
Here in Texas, nearly half of the baby formula supply out of stock. The North Texas Mother's Milk Bank in Fort Worth now looking for a way to help meet the urgent need.
We have had, at one point this week, in a 24-hour period, over 70 mothers make inquiries on how they could become donors, which is phenomenal.
And Lindsay, the president just confirming on social media that that flight, that first one, will go out this weekend. In the meantime, right behind me, lab techs are processing all the donated milk they've gotten here in the Fort Worth area. The hope is that they'll be able to help some of those struggling families feed their babies as early as next week. Lindsay? Families so desperate for access. Maria, thank you. Now to the economy. The market's narrowly avoiding a bear market close, ending with another weekly loss. The Dow closing the day nearly unchanged, up just over 8 points, but the steady downward trend fueling fears that a recession may be ahead. Now to the war in Ukraine tonight. Russia is declaring the city of Mariupol is fully in their control. The fiercest fighting now moves to the eastern Donbass. ABC's Tom Sufi Burich reports in from Kyiv.
Tonight, new video of a dramatic firefight as the three-month Russian siege of the Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol finally draws to an end. Pro-Russian forces releasing the video appearing to target the tunnels where Ukrainian fighters were holed up. ABC News unable to confirm when it was taken. The Kremlin claiming it now has full control of the city. And tonight, President Zelensky posting video of a strike on a concert hall in the northeast of Ukraine, calling it absolute evil. Seven people killed, including an 11-year-old child. We saw the horrors in Bucha firsthand. Anna nearly crippled when she tried to escape Bucha. Her husband Anton killed when Russian soldiers sprayed their car with bullets.
I only have this image of his face on the steering wheel. Totally in blood.
Anna, pregnant at the time and badly wounded in the attack, lost her unborn son.
I was waiting for this child and it was awful what happened.
Anna's story, a reminder of what President Putin's war is doing here in Ukraine. Lindsay, President Zelensky saying tonight the decision to surrender at that steel plant was taken to save lives. Lindsay?
Anna, representative of so many. Tom, thank you. Next, new reports tonight that the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas sought to overturn the election results. In newly released emails, Ginny Thomas urges Republican lawmakers in Arizona to choose a clean slate of electors, attributing Biden's victory to fraud. Here's ABC's Chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
Newly revealed emails show that as President Trump was calling on the Supreme Court to overturn the election,
we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land.
Hopefully they will do what's right for our country.
The wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was actively urging Republicans to overturn Joe Biden's election victory in at least one key state, Arizona. In emails first reported by the Washington Post and confirmed by ABC News, Jenny Thomas urged the top Republican in the Arizona state legislature to overturn the will of the state's voters, replacing electoral votes won by Joe Biden with a slate of Trump electoral votes, writing, quote, "You have the power to fight back against fraud. Please take action to ensure a clean slate of electors is chosen." Mrs. Thomas sent a similar email to at least one other Arizona Republican lawmaker, warning, quote, "Consider what will happen to the nation we all love if you don't stand up and lead." We had previously learned that Jenny Thomas was also communicating with the Trump White House while all this was going on, urging then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to take steps to overturn the election and saying that Donald Trump must never concede. Lindsay, we have reached out to both Mrs. Thomas and to her lawyer and have not heard back from either.
John Carl, our thanks to you. Now to the growing concern about monkeypox. The CDC is out with a new health alert after a case was confirmed in Massachusetts and another possible case is under investigation here in New York City. So what is monkeypox and how great is the threat? Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, the CDC warning doctors to be on the lookout for symptoms of monkeypox as health officials investigate a second possible American infection in New York City, part of a global outbreak of 130 confirmed or suspected cases in 11 countries where the virus is rarely found.
It's the most important outbreak in the history of monkeypox globally because we're seeing cases in multiple countries at the same time. This has never happened before.
Monkeypox is a viral infection typically found in Africa from the same family as smallpox, causing flu-like symptoms and sometimes covering the body with blisters. While it can be deadly, it's rare and most patients recover. The virus does not spread easily between humans, and previous outbreaks often fizzled out quickly.
I think people just have to be curious, aware, but not terrified, not panicked, not change any plans or travel.
And Lindsay, there are already treatments and even vaccines available, and the U.S. government says it has enough for every American if necessary, but right now it does not seem necessary. Lindsay?
That is good to know. Trevor, thank you. Now to Buffalo, where the first of the 10 people killed in that deadly mass shooting was laid to rest. A private ceremony was held for Haywood Patterson, a church deacon who died ferrying members of his congregation to the grocery store. Yesterday, the Reverend Al Sharpton consoled Patterson's 12-year-old son, Jake. The funerals for at least five more victims are scheduled to take place in the next week. When we come back, the dramatic rescue here in New York, 42 stories above ground, at a trial that may be the first of its kind in the U.S. involving a car crashing while on autopilot.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the index now. It may be the first case of its kind in this country. A judge ruling a Tesla driver will stand trial for vehicular manslaughter in Los Angeles, accused of killing two people in a crash in 2019 while his car was on autopilot. Prosecutors say auto assist features were active. The driver had a hand on the wheel, but he never touched the brakes within 6 minutes of the crash, speeding at 74 miles per hour, ignoring signs to slow down. Finally tonight, a special dog taking center stage, credited with helping a military veteran reclaim her life. Stephanie Marvin Miller joined the Army National Guard when she started college as a freshman. For 5.5 years, she served as a human resource specialist. But then, during her service in 2016, she experienced a life-altering trauma.
It was hard, and I didn't even think I could go to college.
She says she suffered PTSD so paralyzing, she couldn't even leave home.
I would have night terrors that were so awful, and they bled into the daytime.
But in 2018, Stephanie met a lovable yellow lab named Leland, a service dog she credits with saving her life. The two connected through Southeastern Guide Dogs as part of a veteran program for PTSD.
He's done so much. I can go grocery shopping. I was able to go back to college.
For the past 2 years, with Leland right by her side, they attended every lecture, every class and study session together.
He helps with flashbacks. He's even helped me focus in class.
So it was only fitting that come graduation day, when Stephanie received her bachelor's degree at Middle Tennessee State University, Leland was draped in a gown too, crossing the stage together as the speaker called out both of their names.
Stephanie Ann Marvin Miller and Leland Marlin Miller.
My tears started flowing then, and they didn't stop until I was back in my seat.
Love to see his little tail wagging there. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. For David and all of us, good night.